1992. We'll continue our Dhamma talk about the purification of a being. One of the benefits of mindfulness meditation. Sthipatthana vipassana meditation. Yesterday I explained you. On the lower three magas or path knowledge destroys, uproots the defilements as a total removal. And what should I continue today?
Story about the guy. Yes.
You remember very well. Good.
Jesus.
He was a puzzle. Why?
Why?
Then after dinner.
After dinner.
What did he do?
What did she do?
She asked her husband. Please tell me if I have any defect or any fault with me. I'll correct it. Or do you have any other affairs? Outside. Then the villain couldn't help explaining her. because if he didn't explain her about his attainment of unreturnable knowledge. He may be upset. So he explained about his attainment of unreturnable knowledge. The third stage of enlightenment knowledge. It's a wife-based. The name of his wife is Dhammadena. When I went to the monastery and listened to the discourse expounded by the Buddha. I have been mindful of what was happening to me. as taught by the Buddha. Then I have attained noble Dhamma, which is known as Anagami Magga. The birth of an unreturner. So I have no desire for any sensual pleasure, all kinds of sensual pleasures. have been removed, by me,
through
the third stage of enlightenment, which is called Anagami Magga. So I have renounced all worldly affairs, including all of my wealth, and also you too. If the Madina was not a wise girl,
your lady,
she would have been very upset. At what he said about renunciation of his word. But Madina was very wise, and also she has capability to attain these stages of Magga if she practiced. As taught by the Buddha. So Madina asked the Miliana, that Dhamma which you have attained, I also want to attain this noble Dhamma which you have attained today. Is it possible for a woman to attain such a noble Dhamma as you have attained? Then the Visakha Dubilyana said, whoever practices this Dhamma as taught by the Buddha can attain this noble Dhamma, which is known as Magganyana path knowledge. Irrespective of age, irrespective of nationality or ethnic, anyone who practices Dhamma as taught by the Buddha can attain this noble Dhamma. The Madina, the wife was very much pleased with what his husband said about the Dhamma. So Madina asked permission from his husband, Brahma husband, please
permit me
to be a bhikkhuni. That's a female monk. At the monastery. I request you to send me to the monastery to get a bhikkhuni ordination, female monk ordination. Then you should consider what would the Viliyana do? When he was asked permission by his wife. The Viliyana was very much pleased. With what his wife, the Madina, asked. So he said, yes, tomorrow
I'll send you to the monastery to ordain a female bhikkhu, female monk.
When I
as a god permission
from
the king,
he has to
ask for permission from the king. So
he went to
next morning.
He went to the king.
Bimbisara. And told him about what his wife told him, asking for permission and so on. Then the Vemisara, the king, who was also a Sotapanna, who has attained the first stage of enlightenment,
very glad.
to hear what the billionaire said about his wife. So the king said, very good.
Visakha,
please send your wife to the monastery. Then let her be ordained a bhikkhu. Female monks.
So the king also said,
please hold a ceremony of our ordination too. Then Visakha sent his wife to a monastery. Velu Vana Monastery. Then requested the Buddha to ordain a female bhikkhuni. We call it bhikkhuni
in Pali.
In Sanskrit, it's bhikkhuni. Bhikkhu is a male monk. Bhikkhuni is a female monk. So we use the word bhikkhuni. It's not like a nun today. In this Buddhist nun observed only 8% or 10%, that's all. But the roots of bhikkhuni. And the monastic cult is more than 227 rules. So nuns and bhikkhunis are very different. Today some of our Pali scholars use the word nun, Buddhist nun for bhikkhuni. I think it's not very good term.
Then
The Buddha sent Dhammadena, the wife of Bilyana, to the Bhikkhuni Sangha, make them ordain this Dhammadena as a Bhikkhuni. So after Dhammadena had been ordained a Bhikkhuni, she went to a monastery which is far from the village in the forest, which is far from the Jeta Raja Gaha. So there he practiced meditation. The Vilayana Visakha was very much a priest. Then he went home back happily and peacefully. Within a couple of days, Dhammadena, the wife of the Vilayana, the bhikkhuni, came back to Veluna in a couple of days. then the Vilayana heard about her returning to Viluna Monastery. Then he wanted to inquire why she did come back from the forest, from the meditation retreat. So he went to Dhammadena in the monastery, asked some questions about Dhamma. What he thought is Dhammadena came back because he couldn't live a monastery life. She couldn't live a monastery life because she enjoyed a great world at home. Now she has to take very poor food, yet she has to stay in a cottage. She couldn't sleep very well at night too, because she had to practice meditation until midnight, as the other meditation do, especially the meditators and Bhikkhu retreat do. Huh? How? Yeah? Until he practice meditation at the Bhikkhu retreat, meditators and Bhikkhu retreat do. Huh? No. So Visakhad was very much disappointed about her coming back to the monastery, but he wanted to know what is the reason why she came back to the monastery. Then asked some question about Dhamma. The question is, what is a Sakkaya Dhammadena, which is a Buddha, which is expounded by the Buddha? What is a Sakkaya? Then Dhammadena said, Auso Vilayana. The word also is an address to a person who is equal rank or who has an lower rank. The Dhammadena used that word, also Visakha. Five aggregates of grasping is a Sakkaya. Five aggregates of grasping is a Sakkaya. Panchubara nekhana Sakkaya divocati. Sakkaya here means absolute reality. Absolutely reality. So the Vidaka Visaka asked the question, how Dhammadena, what is the Sakkaya which is taught the Buddha, taught us by the Buddha? Dhammadena said, also Visaka. Five aggregates of grasping is called Sakkaya. Then the second, the the answer to the first question put to Dhammadena by the Visakha satisfy him. because he has already know it. Then again, the second question was asked. Then what is the cause of Sakkaya Dhamma Daini? Then Dhamma Daini answered this question. Tanha or attachment is called the cause of Sakkaya. You know, Sakkaya means absolute reality. It's both mental and physical phenomena, nama and rupa. So, what is the cause of the Sakkaya means? What is the cause of a nama and rupa, mental and physical process? That's what does the question means. Then Sakkamadaina soon gave the answer to that question. Tanha attachment is the cause of suffering, the cause of Sakkaya, Visakha, also Visakha. Then Visakha, the villain, was very much satisfied with the second answer to the second question, because it's quite correct. Any Sakkaya or mental or physical process or the suffering is caused by Tanha attachment. So Tanha attachment is the cause of a Sakkaya. Then the second question. What's the Dhamma Daina? The cessation of a Sakkaya. And the Madaina gave answer. The cessation of Sakkaya is also Visakha. Extinction of Tanha or attachment. Total extinction of Tanha or attachment. When Tanha is destroyed totally, attachment is totally, Sakkaya ceases to exist. It doesn't arise any longer. So, the cessation of Sakkaya is the extinction of Tanha attachment. It's Nibbana. Nibbana has no attachment at all. When attachment ceases to exist, you attain Nibbana, liberation, emancipation. Then Sakkaya ceases to exist. Yes, Sakkaya, as you know, mental and physical phenomena. Mental and physical phenomenon ceases to exist when its cause, Tanha or attachment, has been destroyed. So, this question also satisfied Visakha. Yeah, this answer to the third question also satisfied Visakha, the billionaire. Then he asked another question, the fourth one. How can you stop or destroy this Sakkaya? Is there any way in which you can destroy this Sakkaya or to make it stop? Then Dhammadina said, also Visakha, there's a way which leads you to the cessation of all Sakkaya. That's the Noble Eightfold Path. If you develop a Noble Eightfold Path fully, then all kinds of Sakkaya ceases to exist. So this Noble Eightfold Path is the way leading to the cessation of all Sakkaya of mental and physical phenomena. Visakha puts 4 questions. All the 4 questions were rightly, correctly, and perfectly answered by Dhammadena, his wife. Then Visakha judged, yes, this girl was very clever. He has attained arhatship, he judged. She has attained arhatship. Then she has attained the fourth stage of her enlightenment. The Vilayana attained the third stage of her enlightenment. Who is a senior? The wife, senior. Maybe here also? Female meditator may exceed the male meditator. Not in Dhamma, but in number. But in number. Yes. Then Visakha continued to ask. Yes, Dhammadena, I am very much satisfied with your answers to my 4 questions. Please let me ask you some more questions. Dhammadena becomes silent. That means she agreed to be asked some more questions. Then Visakha asked one more question. What is the Madena Sakkaya Ditti? What is the Madena Sakkaya Ditti? He has realized what the Sakkaya means. As answered by the Madhamadena, Sakkaya means of mental and physical process. That's the 5 aggregates of grasping. The 5 aggregates of grasping is a mental or mental and physical phenomena. Except path knowledge and fruition knowledge. So, when he asked the 5th question, what is it Sakkaya deity from Dhammadena? Dhammadena answered this question to very correctly. Sakkaya deity means house of Visakha. The wrong view of a personality, individuality, self also, which is based on Sakkaya or mental and physical phenomena. This false view of a personality, individuality, arises depending on misunderstanding of a physical and mental phenomena. Sakkaya. If Sakkaya, mental and physical phenomenon, is rightly realized or rightly understood as just a natural process of arising and passing away, then there won't arise any false view of a personality, individuality, self or soul. Because he doesn't take this mental or physical process to be a person, a being, and I know as you. That's the Buddha, the Dhamma Dana said. Sakaya Deity means the false view of a personality, individuality, self or soul, which is based on misunderstanding of body-mind process or mental or physical phenomena, which is called Sakaya. Sakaya this view about this view on mental and physical phenomena is wrong, because the false view takes mental and physical phenomena to be a person, a being, and I know as you. It doesn't see it as it really is. So the false view of a personality, individuality, which is based on misunderstanding of a body-mind process, is called Sakaya Ditti. You follow? Clearly, see? Should I clarify more? No need, because you are intelligent. You are intelligent. Then, the Visakha was very much satisfied with what the Madina answers to these five questions, and then he thinks it's enough for me. Now I can judge. He had attained, he has attained the fourth stage of enlightenment and became a heart. She has nothing to do more, so that she will be able to destroy the defilement, because of all the defilement in her has been destroyed to her. First stage of enlightenment. Then, Visakha, with a great pleasure, went home back. Then, when a meditator who practiced under my guidance in this retreat go home back, they should try to persuade their wives or daughters and sons to practice meditation and attain arhatship. Is that good? Very good, huh? Yes. What I have explained is the the third stage of enlightenment. It destroys, it uproots, it uproots the sensual desire and anger totally. Then, what does the fourth knowledge of insight, the fourth knowledge of enlightenment, destroy? Sakaya Deity has been destroyed by the first stage of enlightenment. All mental defilements which has been left untouched by the lower stage, third three stages of enlightenment has been destroyed by the fourth stage of enlightenment. Is it right? Yes. So when you have attained the fourth stage of enlightenment, rahatship, you have no defilement at all. All defilements are totally unexceptionally destroyed by the fourth stage of enlightenment. Then the mundana, who has attained the fourth stage of enlightenment, has no defilement at all, and she feels she leads a peaceful and happy life, calm life. But the Vilayana Visakha has one stage of enlightenment to attain. He would have to strive for the attainment of the fourth stage. In the third stage of enlightenment, he can uproot, he can eradicate the sensual desire, and also anger. But he has some desire for attainment of a jhana, rupa jhana and arupa jhana. Rupa jhana means the jhana which is based on the physical phenomena. Arupa jhana means rupa jhana means material jhana, material concentration of a deep concentration of a mind. It's based on physical process, both physical process and mental process. But arupa jhana means a material jhana, which is based on mentality, only mentality, not materiality. So, some of the Pali scholars translate these two jhana, material jhana and formless jhana, they said. Arupa jhana is translated into formless jhana because they translate physical phenomena into the word form. So, arupa jhana means just material, immaterial jhana, which is based on just mentality, not materiality. So they translate it as formless jhana. Yes, let it be. We are not concerned with these things which are worldly things, not a supramundane. Then, at the stage of the third path knowledge, Visakha has destroyed the sensual desire and anger, hatred, aversion, ill will. But he has a desire to attainment of this material jhana and immaterial jhana. So he has some lobha, desire. That desire for attainment of material jhana and immaterial jhana is destroyed by the fourth stage of enlightenment, arhatship, path knowledge. So at the stage of the fourth stage of insight knowledge, arhatamagga, then it destroys all kinds of desire for attainment of jhanas. And also the other remaining mental defilement such as restlessness, distraction, and conceit, and so on. Also ignorance. So at the stage of the fourth stage of insight, the fourth stage of enlightenment, you destroy all mental defilements and so when a person has attained the four stages for enlightenment, he has no defilement at all. So he is called Arahant. Arahant means the one who has killed all enemies. Arahant. Ara means enemies. Hanta means killer. Arahanta means the killer of all enemies. Then the noble one killed his enemy. Is it a god? Huh? He killed. Huh? He killed. Is it a god? Yes? Why? Yes. When he hasn't yet killed his enemies, he is defiled still. Then when he has killed his enemies, he has purified himself. Huh? So it's good. What are the enemies? Huh? Defilements. Yes. Defilement. So Arhanta means one who has killed all the enemies. Then again, Arhanta means the one who is worthy of a noble honor. Why? Because he has no defilement at all. So he is worthy of a great honor, a noble honor. Then he is completely purified from all kinds of defilement. Why is he purified a lot? Ah, very easy. Because he has been practicing mindfulness and meditation. He has been practicing mindfulness and meditation. So he can purify himself from all kinds of mental defilement. That the Buddha said, purification of being is the first benefit of mindfulness and meditation. That's what I mean. Now, you are also practicing mindfulness and meditation. How many kinds of defilement have you killed? How many kinds of defilement have you killed? Yes, you would say. Practicing mindfulness, we are afraid of being killed by our defilement. Practicing mindfulness, we are afraid of being killed by our defilement. Why? Because we do not put enough effort in our practice. Not industrious. Is it right? Yes. Then, the second benefit of mindfulness and meditation is overcoming overcoming worry, sorry, and lamentation. The second one is overcoming worry and sorry. The third is overcoming of lamentations. When you practice mindfulness, if your effort is enough, and time is also enough, you can concentrate your mind deeply on the object of a mental or physical process. Then when you think about your failure and your life and any respects upon your life, you may have worried about it. You may feel sorry for it. But your concentration is good enough at that moment. As soon as the worry or sorry arises, you note it very attentively, energetically, worry, 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 sorry, sorry, sorry. Because of a deconcentration, the worry and sorry becomes weak and weak and then stopped. Then the noting mind comes to rise and fall over the abdominal primary object and notice usual. Then the mind is well concentrated, deeply you feel serene, quiet, tranquil. That worry or sorry cannot disturb you. Why? Oh, because of a mindfulness meditation. Because of a mindfulness meditation. You can say this one because you yourself experience some worry, sorry, and sadness by being mindful of them. Did you have that experience? Yes. Every meditator has this experience. So, then do you believe when the Buddha said the second benefit of mindfulness meditation is the overcoming of a worry and sorry? You believe? Yeah, why?
Because we have experienced it.
You must say
bravely.
Bravely.
Should not be reluctant. Then
that is partial removal of a worry and sorry.
Not total removal of a worry and sorry.
Even though you are able to overcome this worry and sorry while your concentration is good enough.
When you are out of a retreat, your concentration is not so good as in the retreat.
Then could you overcome this worry and sorry?
Yes.
If you persistently
observe this worry and sorry,
then you're gonna overcome it.
Even the outside retreat. Do you believe me?
If you do not believe me, then you should practice it.
Outside.
Yes.
Mindfulness meditation is not to practice only in the retreat.
But it should be applied to your daily activity, daily life. It is very much beneficial and useful. So if the mindfulness meditation is beneficial and useful only in the retreat,
you should not come and practice, you should go. So you must apply this mindfulness to what you are doing in your daily life. Especially when you have any emotional state which is very strong and makes you suffer.
As a worry or sorry.
Then you should remember, I must observe it.
Then observe, note worry, sorry. Persistently, that will go away. That's the Buddha said, the second benefit of mindfulness meditation is overcoming sorry and worry. The commentary to the Satipatthana Sutra mentions a story.
Time's nearly up.
Shall I tell you this story?
You want to listen to? Yes, later.
Yes.
There was a celestial being.
And we called a deity.
His name is Supyama.
He lives in the upper realm of a deva.
Tautensa. He has many female deities.
He has many wives.
How many do you think, according to the story?
Ten hundred.
The story said the other 500 on the left and right.
Yes.
Then there's a very beautiful garden in the realm of Tautensa.
Very beautiful garden named Nandana.
Nandana means a pleasurable garden.
All Devadatta deities
go to that garden and enjoy the picnic and so on.
Then this deity Subhyama also go to that garden, Nandana,
together with his thousand wives.
You should consider here.
Now you have only one.
You have always embarrassed, annoyed, disturbed by this one.
and you have to worry about her.
Sometimes you have to sorry for her.
Then now, thousand.
How can this deity cope with?
I don't know.
You may know.
Then
are and they are enjoy many things, many pleasurable things.
But
in the morning,
the 500 warps of a thousand,
plucking the flowers in the garden,
died.
All of the five hundreds died.
according to the scripture, at 80, nobody is left.
All the body has been vapor.
It's getting vaporized.
And no one sees the dead body.
Suvyama.
In UIM, the other deities,
he doesn't know.
He didn't know.
those deities who had died are reborn in the hell. All the five have been reborn in the hell,
suffering a great deal.
And when
Suvyama is about to go home back.
He made a roll call.
He made a roll call. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and so on.
Then he came to know.
Ah, 500 is lost.
So he finds out this
500,
all the corners of a garden
he didn't see.
Then he looked for
all the six realms of a deva.
He couldn't see.
Then he looked down to the earth.
Human world.
He couldn't see.
Then he looked down further.
To the hell.
There he found
his 500 deities
suffering in the hell.
A great deal.
He was shocked.
and sorry for them and worried about them.
then at the same time,
He sees how long could he live in the Deva world.
Then he sees he will die himself after a week.
Then he was very much worried about his death.
In this way he was stricken with worry, sorry, and so much suffering.
Then how can he overcome this worry and sorry?
By mindfulness, that's what you know, but he doesn't know mindfulness meditation
because he indulges in sensual pleasure a great deal.
he doesn't know.
Then he was helpless.
No one consoled him.
He was stricken a great deal of grief and worry and sorrow.
The other remaining 500 also can't help
him.
But one of the female deities who seems to be wise
advised him.
Lord.
We have the king of the devas, deities. You should go to him and ask for the advice to quench this suffering.
Then
Disubhyamma went to the king of Adewa, Deti,
ask
for the way
in which he can
quench the flames,
a great flame of
worry, sorry, and grief.
Then
the king of Adewa is called Sakka in Pali.
Sakka.
The king of Adewa told him,
Subhyama,
I am also not able to advise you
how to quench your flames.
Your fires
a great
deal.
Then
the saga.
Yes,
what I
can do for you
only is one thing.
That you should go down to the earth,
a human world.
There's
the enlightened Buddha.
You should go to him
and ask for his advice.
Then
the Subhyamma
deity
came to the Buddha
as advised by the king of Adewas.
But not alone.
How many?
Altogether 501.
Who is the one? Himself.
Yes, if he is accompanied these 500 female deities, could he overcome his worry and sorry?
No.
Hopeless.
Time's up.
And time's up.
We'll continue tomorrow.
No? May you strive to overcome your worry and sorry by means of a mindfulness and meditation and achieve the cessation of suffering.